From the headquarters of the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut, this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, February 3rd, 2017. This program is produced by the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, and features news highlights compiled from the ARRL letter, found on the web at arrl.org. I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X.
And I'm your co-host, Carla Pereira.
In this week's report, a Connecticut radio amateur endows the ARRL Collegiate Amateur Radio Initiative.
2016 was another outstanding year for amateur radio licensing.
And a transcontinental relay was recreated for its 100th anniversary.
Those stories and others, plus Bruce Page, KK5DO, with this week's satellite update, all coming up now.
I'm Scott Robbins, W4PA from Knoxville, Tennessee, and you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
A generous donation from Dr. Ed Snyder, W1YSM of Wallingford, Connecticut, will endow a fund to support the ARRL Collegiate Amateur Radio Initiative. Snyder also has provided an additional contribution of seed money to help get the initiative off the ground. Snyder said he hopes that the W1YSM Snyder Family Collegiate Amateur Radio Endowment Fund will lead to the development of a national network of college amateur radio clubs under the aegis of ARRL and set up ways for these clubs to stay in close contact and communicate on the air, in meetings, and through other activities. College amateur radio activities can provide the ideal bridge between youthful interest in the subject and lifelong participation in our community, ARRL CEO Tom Gallagher, NY2RF, said. Dr. Snyder, through his generosity, has provided foundational funding for this important mission. Gallagher recently wrote about collegiate amateur radio in a QST editorial, Sis Boom Ba, which appeared in the December 2016 issue of QST. Although he didn't become a ham until fairly recently, Snyder said he developed an interest in amateur radio as a teenager. His father and his uncle were involved with the retail side of radio. His dad, Jack, worked at Allied and Lafayette, and his uncle, Ben Snyder, W2SOH, was an executive at New York City's Harrison Radio. Snyder said he wanted to give something tangible back to the amateur radio community and to honor his family members' prominent association with amateur radio. The idea of setting up an endowment through ARRL seemed like a perfect solution, he said. I want to focus on collegiate amateur radio and hope that the W1YSM Snyder Family Collegiate Amateur Radio Endowment will help ARRL focus some of its efforts on getting college club stations back on the air and active. Amateur radio needs to have a bigger impact in this age of cell phones and digital communications. Snyder, an MD and professor of laboratory medicine at Yale, said he believes his father and his uncle would be pleased to know how active he's become in amateur radio. You can visit the ARRL Collegiate Amateur Radio Initiative Facebook group to learn more.
"2016 was another outstanding year for amateur radio licensing," says ARRL Volunteer Examiner Coordinator Manager Maria Soma, AB1FM. New amateur radio licenses issued were up by 1% over 2015, and this is the third year in a row that the total number of new licenses has exceeded 30,000, Soma reported. Soma said that while 2014 was a record-setting year for new licenses issued, ARRL VEC continues to see an elevated interest in obtaining an amateur radio license. The total number of U.S. amateur radio licensees has continued to grow each year since the FCC eliminated the Morse code exam requirement in 2007. Over the past decade, the net number of amateur radio licensees has risen by nearly 87,000, according to statistics compiled by ARRL Pacific Section Manager Joe Spironi, AH0A. As of December 31, 2016, the total number of licensees in the FCC database was 742,787. Soma said license upgrades were down by 5% compared to 2015, 10,617 versus 11,224. A new amateur extra class pool took effect on July 1, 2016, which may have impacted upgrade totals in the second half of the year, she speculated.
Jeff Don, KB3ZUK of Rockville, Maryland, activated every unit in the Washington, D.C. area during the year-long National Parks on the Air, or NPOTA, program. That, combined with his prior D.C. area law enforcement experience, gave him a leg up to snag a gig during the presidential inauguration and the Women's March on Washington as a radio operator for the National Park Service. Don, an ARRL member, spent 32 hours over the course of 3 days as a volunteer, operating Park Service radios from National Park Service headquarters. Don was invited to serve as a communications officer during the inauguration at the NPS Incident Command Post at their headquarters facility as a direct result from participating in NPOTA. NPS Eastern Incident Management Team Communications Officer Gary Shipley, N5GQD, said Don was a quick study. He handled announcements, dispatching, trouble calls, and requests for assistance on four radio nets with ease, Shipley said. He also handled equipment issues. He provided timely and valuable assistance, and his participation was key to the success of the mission. Don said it was an honor and a privilege to serve as a volunteer. It was amazing to have been given the chance to participate and to have been so closely involved with such an amazing event, he told ARRL. Don's participation in a formal NPS communications event has helped to further strengthen the ties between the National Park Service and the amateur radio community.
Online, via podcast, and on repeaters throughout North America, you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
Now, with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
Sometimes, instead of working a satellite, it is just plain fun to see one. That is the case with the Iridium satellites. There are approximately 66 of them, and their antennas are the size of a door made out of aluminum. They have a reflective surface made of Teflon. When the angle of the sun is just right with your view, the sun will reflect at such a magnitude that it will appear as a flare. The brightness can reach 100 times brighter than Venus. The next generation of Iridium satellites have begun to launch, and they will be swapped out with the old satellites, thus drawing to an end the flares. The new antennas are much different. This will be the time to watch for the old Iridium satellites and enjoy the flares before they are gone forever. You can get the directions from your location to look for the satellites by visiting heavens-above.com. Thanks to the AMSAT News Service, Bob King, and Sky and Telescope for this week's story. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
Meteor Scatter is a topic of the latest episode of the ARRL The Doctor Is In podcast. Sponsored by DX Engineering, ARRL The Doctor Is In is an informative discussion of all things technical. Listen on your computer, tablet, or smartphone, whenever and wherever you like. Every 2 weeks, your host, QST Editor-in-Chief Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and the doctor himself, Joel Hallis, W1ZR, will discuss a broad range of technical topics. You can also email your questions to doctor@arrl.org, and the doctor may answer them in a future podcast. Enjoy ARRL The Doctor Is In on Apple iTunes or by using your iPhone or iPad podcast app. You can also listen online at Blueberry and through the free Stitcher app for iOS, Kindle, or Android devices.
Ever wonder what that AM button on your transceiver is for? Well, if you don't know about full carrier amplitude modulation or have never used it on the air, you'll get the chance during the AM rally the weekend of April 1st on the HF bands and 6 meters. Amateur radio voice mode transmissions on the HF bands into the 1960s were AM, the same mode that used to predominate in radio broadcasting. Single sideband, or SSB, a form of AM, gradually took over the bands. Today, a group of dedicated radio amateurs keep the magic flame alive, getting on AM frequently, and for many of them, AM is their primary operating mode. The AM rally gives the uninitiated a chance to dip a toe into the pool, so to speak. We plan to make the AM rally fun for everyone, but we also want to help ops who might be new to the mode to get their rig set up and sounding the best they can in time for the event, said Clark Burgard, N1BCG, who is spearheading the event with Steve Cloutier, WA1QIX, and Brian Kress, KB3WFV. Whether your rig is software-defined, solid-state, vacuum tube, hybrid, homebrew, or broadcast surplus, you'll be a welcome part of the AM rally. The AM rally begins on Saturday, April 1st at 0 hours UTC and runs through 2359 UTC on Sunday, April 2nd. Visit amrally.com for complete AM rally details, contact information, award categories, logging, and tips on how to get the most out of your station equipment in AM mode.
Mel Fukunaga, KH6H, of Wailuku on the Hawaiian island of Maui, has been a volunteer examiner with the ARRL-VEC since its inception in 1984, becoming accredited with the ARRL-VEC in September of that year. For the past 32 years, Mel has faithfully conducted 3 exam sessions on average every year, said ARRL-VEC manager Maria Soma, AB1FM. The VEC appreciates his dedication and service to the amateur radio community in Hawaii. On December 2nd, Fukunaga, an ARRL Life member, administered his 100th exam session, and the Maui Amateur Radio Club honored his long-term dedication to amateur radio licensing on Maui by presenting him with an engraved bowl. Fukunaga heads the island's VE team, which administers ham radio examinations 3 times a year, in April, August, and December. For many years, Fukunaga served as the Amateur Radio Emergency Service District Emergency Coordinator on Maui.
Hi, I'm ARRL member Dolores Wadsworth, KC8IAN of Wayne, Michigan, and you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
And finally, a cross-country station-hopping relay this month recreated the January 27, 1917 route of the first formal amateur radio transcontinental message traffic bound for ARRL headquarters. This method of traffic handling is the DNA of the then-fledgling National Organization for Amateur Radio's name, the American Radio Relay League. Kent Trimble, K9ZTV, organized the January 27th commemoration, in which a message originating at W6UE, the Caltech Club Station in Los Angeles, hopped to K8ZTT in Denver, then to W9ABD in Jefferson City, Missouri, to KT2D in Albany, New York, and finally to W1AW. The commemorative event took place on 160 meters, as it was the band closest to the 200-meter wavelength used for the original accomplishment. In 1917, 2 messages originated by the Seaford brothers to ARRL President Hiram Percy Maxim and one from Lindley Windsor to ARRL co-founder Clarence Tuska were relayed from 6EA in Los Angeles to Captain W.H. Smith, 9ZF in Denver, to Willis P. Corwin, 9ABD in Jefferson City, to Kenneth Hewitt, 2AGJ in Albany, and finally to Maxim's 1ZM in Hartford, Connecticut. The routing for this month's commemorative event was identical to that of a century earlier. As Trimble reported, the message originated at W6UE at 0801 UTC and followed the same path of the 1917 message relay. The route was completed to W1AW at approximately 0930 UTC, Trimble recounted. That was 4:30 a.m. in Connecticut. Amateur radio historian Clinton DeSoto, W9KL, said the January 27, 1917 triumph, in which 3 messages were relayed across the U.S., was topped a few days later on February 6th, when a piece of traffic originating on the East Coast made its way to the West Coast, with a reply reaching the East Coast all within 1 hour and 20 minutes. This marks the first real-time amateur radio communication with a definite address, noted an article, Transcontinental Traffic Begins, that trumpeted the January 27, 1917 accomplishment in the April 1917 issue of QST.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about audio news, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright 2017 ARRL, all rights reserved. Until next week, I'm Carla Pereira.
And I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X. 73, and thanks for listening.